Okay, this is Project Independence in You. We were talking with Beth Lilac, who is the Senior Director of Education and Community Affairs at the Holocaust and Memorial Tolerance Center of Nassau County. She gave us some great information, Hal.
The key word, of course, was tolerance.
Yeah.
And that broadened enormously the range of information and people that they deal with.
Right.
It was really quite fascinating.
It really was. I asked her for some information, so if anybody wants any further information, they can also give 311 a call and ask for Project Independence. They can ask for me, Rebecca Miller, and I'd be happy to connect them with Beth. We're going to give another shot at Scott Schober. Scott is the CEO of Berkeley Veritronic Systems. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hopefully you can hear me.
I can hear you. I can hear you. I think you able to hear a little bit of some of the things that Hal and I were talking about. We talked a lot about the security tips that I think you had provided us. I hope that, you know, we pretty much stayed on target with some of those recommendations. You know, how we started off, Scott, was we encourage seniors to use technology, to learn the computer, understand their cell phone, you know, Skype, email, buy things online, do all these things that, you know, because technology makes things so much easier. And, you know, for seniors that are, you know, isolated at home, sometimes it's really a great opportunity. However, we have, you know, hackers and scammers, and where's the happy medium?
Well, first of all, it's a great point, and I'm glad that you're encouraging different age groups and the elderly to consider to use computers. Very important to get educated on them and to benefit from it. However, there is a balance there and a word of caution in that often hackers will target the elderly. They'll target the naive with a lot of the scams, such as you mentioned earlier, the phishing scams, where they're trying to lure one in to click on an email attachment that will redirect them to another site that's fictitious in order to obtain more confidential information from them.
Right. One of the things we were concerned about is not just the telephone or the email, but also the credit card. And are there ways to protect the credit card?
Yeah, that's a lot trickier one, because our traditional credit cards with the magstripe are extremely vulnerable to hacks and breaches, as we all heard about in the past 2 years with the Target breach, the Home Depot.
Right.
Now they're implementing, if you look on your cards, if they've been reissued, most of them have chip and PIN technology, which should be implemented by hopefully at the end of this year, which is fabulous. That'll provide an additional layer of security by requiring someone at the point of sale register to enter a PIN number in as that additional authentication, which is good. But still, one has to be very careful using credit cards, especially online, to make sure they're on a secure website. And they could look up in the top left of their browser if they see their HTTPS. The S denotes security. And make sure that the site is a secure online portal where they feel comfortable to buy things and that it is secured, because it could be very dangerous. Otherwise, it could be a scam, which a lot of them are out there are scamming shopping sites.
Is something like PayPal more secure than just using your credit card number as needed?
Yes and no. PayPal is a secure means of purchasing things online. That being said, they too have had many issues where it's been compromised multiple times. So you got to be cautious.
And is the magic ingredient in all of this changing your password with high frequency?
Yeah, I recommend changing your password every 30 days. And creating complex, strong passwords, 15 characters or more, uppercase, lowercase, symbols, and numbers. You never want to use anything where there's a word in the dictionary. You don't want to use anything that's closely associated to you. a spouse, a pet's name, a birth date, anything of those sorts. And probably most important, the password reuse is a tremendous problem. Using the same password over and over across multiple sites, very dangerous.
Scott, you don't realize how much work you just created for me.
Yeah, it is a lot of work.
I'm going to have to go recreate one after the other.
You know, Hal had, we were talking earlier, he had mentioned that his credit card was compromised and his credit card company recognized that there was a purchase made that maybe wasn't really, he wasn't in California. So what are the steps we should take if we suspect we've been hacked, either on an email or if you get a credit card statement and you notice that there are purchases that you did not make? What's the first thing? What are the steps that we take?
Well, excuse me. Yeah. The first thing you just said that's very important is to go over your statement very carefully every time it comes.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, that's a really good point. If you have, I always recommend a minimum number of credit cards if you're going to use a credit card. I use one credit card. It's easy to monitor one credit card statement. It's hard when you have six credit cards. You're never going to keep up with it. And then if they are compromised, it may be too late. So the second you monitor your statement, if you notice any anomalies, immediately call the issuing credit card company and let them know. That's key. And that'll save a lot of time and money. And it'll get it back to your account faster.
Right. Well, you know, these stores, though, give you incentives to open up a credit card. If you open up a credit card today, you're going to get 15% off. You're going to get 20% off. So, what about in terms of closing credit cards that you haven't used? You could probably have credit cards out there that maybe you open so that you can get a discount. And you get the discount, you pay it off, and you don't use it. How do you recommend people close credit cards?
Well, again, they should call them personally. I don't fall for the open a credit card to get a 10 or 15% discount, especially once you've been compromised and have to deal with the cleanup mess afterwards. Personally and our company, we had our debit card, credit card, checking account compromised. It's a mess. Once somebody goes through that painful process, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners have appreciated, it takes time and effort and money that far exceeds the 10% that you saved for opening up a Macy's credit card. So don't be fooled. They're trying to sell you when they're enticing you to sign up for all these credit cards and discounts, things of that nature. Our story of being hacked as a company, I decided to make it my goal to write about it and share our failures and
right.
help others.
Do you?
And one of the most dangerous things in that whole process is they frequently ask for your Social Security number and your birth date. And with those two pieces of information, anybody can get credit cards on your name, and they're off and running.
All right. You really got to protect that
you
information.
Protect that.
Scott,
yeah,
a lot of times, even through email and recommendations for credit checks, these companies online, I think they're the three top companies. Do you recommend doing that?
It can't hurt, but does it help you is the question I have. It does help if there's somebody that took out credit in your name, but you're a lot better off minimizing the information you put out there. Don't be putting out, if you go to the doctor's office, you do not have to put your Social Security name or number down on the documentation. If you go to the hospital, you do not have to put your Social Security number down. And why do we say that? Look at the compromises with Premera, Anthem. We're talking almost 100
right.
million people that had their medical records compromised. This latest with 11 million compromised, all the Social Security numbers were in there. You're not required by law to put that down. So don't do it. You could just put the last four digits down is my suggestion.
Right.
And that will appease them as opposed
right.
to giving them the keys to your financial, your identity theft and all the other things that they're looking for.
Yeah, the hospitals, the hospitals tend to use your birth date as their ID identification. But very frequently in their computer is your Social Security number as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a senior and you've got Medicare, they've got your Social Security number. And that combination is deadly.
Yeah, and ask yourself, why does a cyber hacker want your birth date, your name, and your Social Security number? It's because then they can take advantage of fraud, medical fraud, and file false claims against you. And it's going to mess your credit up, it's going to mess your history up, and it's going to be a disaster for you, and they'll walk away with the money.
It's really scary.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. So you just got to be vigilant, careful, check your statements, continue. I mean, I get my statements online. I check my credit card almost daily and my bank. Yep. Though, you know, I'm kind of now pretty nervous, Scott, doing that. Should I not be doing this? You know, I keep up with everything. Credit cards.
Paranoia is good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Once you've been breached, you have to be paranoid. And I myself am now paranoid since we've had multiple times personally and, of course, in the business, things compromised. And I'm waiting for it to happen again and again. So I've minimized it to a single credit card in the business, a single credit card personally, and monitor the statements like a hawk. It's much, much safer. And where you can use cash, use cash.
Right.
It's much easier. It can be inconvenient, but once you get used to it, it'll actually probably save you some money in the long run because you won't be so quick to whip the plastic out.
Yeah, that's very interesting. One of my sons does that, and he is an ex-bank executive. He's retired now, but he carries cash. And on occasion, I'll see him use a credit card, but almost always, if we're at a meal, he's going to pay for it in cash.
Yep. Hal had mentioned that when he travels,
my credit card.
Right. He alerts his credit card company that he's going to be out of state. Is that a recommendation? What are the reasons one would call their credit card company to kind of alert them to things maybe?
Well, I do that primarily if it's international.
Yeah, right. I would say traveling out of the country makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
I don't so much do it for local, but internationally I do.
Right.
Yeah. You can also tell your credit card companies that you don't any suspect activity above a certain amount to alert you. So there's a lot of things you can do.
Hmm. That's a good point.
Right. We're going to be taking a break shortly, Scott. You can't see that 2-minute warning because we can't see you. You're on the phone. I'm glad that we were able to connect, but if you can kind of hang in there for a few minutes
Absolutely.
While we take a little bit of a break. We've been talking with Scott Schober, who is the CEO of Berkley Veritronic Systems, and we're talking about keeping personal information safe in our technology-driven society. We ask that everybody stays tuned to 88.1 FM. And WCWP.org. We will be right back.